Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSC. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Dr. Jeremy Stone, neurosurgeon at UPMC Hammond. And we welcome Dr. Jeremy Stone into this edition of Business Spotlight featuring UPMC Hammond. Dr. Stone, thanks for being with us today. Can you tell us a little bit about the path that led you to UPMC and why neurosurgery?
Yeah, absolutely. I am not one of those kids who grew up wanting to be a doctor or a neurosurgeon. I was actually born and raised in Hawaii, and like a typical island kid, I wanted to be a professional ice hockey player. Very abnormal for a Hawaii kid, actually. And I think you have to have a couple screws loose to end up as a neurosurgeon anyway. But I played hockey, and I ended up doing prep school in Minnesota. I actually really enjoy the four seasons and snow and the climate of the northern part of the country. And when I had a series of head concussions and other injuries in later in my career, I decided not to continue with the dream of being a professional hockey player, but really enjoyed just learning and biology and everything to do with the inner workings of the human body, and nothing was more fascinating than the brain. So the brain really captivated me, and I've always liked working with my hands and doing things that are physically and mentally demanding for a greater goal, for the goal of helping others. And so putting all that together in med school, it just kind of clicked to go the route of neurosurgery, because it just encompassed all my top interests and really can't imagine doing anything else now that I'm in it.
What is neurosurgery for those that don't know?
Neurosurgery is one specialty within medicine, a very small part of medicine when you consider everything, which involves the surgical treatment of disorders that affect the brain and the spine and all of the nerves in the body. I think a lot of people, when they hear neurosurgeon, just think brain surgeon, but actually brain surgery is a smaller component of our job than spine surgery. Spine surgery is very much the largest part of what we do, because spine problems are just so common and increasingly affecting our population as we have a larger aging population and we're living to longer ages. Just we have more time for gravity to bring our spine down. So It's a specialty within medicine that focuses on the surgical treatment of disorders of the brain and the spine.
Dr. Stone, can you share a little bit about the most common cases that the neurosurgery and neurointervention team at UPMC Hammett treat daily?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I mentioned briefly, spine problems make up probably 60 to 70% of what we do, and surgeries can be anywhere along the spine. We tend to have problems at the top of our spine, in our neck, and at the bottom of our spine, the lumbar part of our spine, because those are the two parts of the spine that really take the most brunt of the forces. Our neck is very mobile and has the ability to move in all directions quite freely. And so there's just a lot of complex joints involved there. And so we operate from the front of the neck. That's a surgery called anterior cervical discectomy and fusion, ACDF for short. That's one of the most common surgeries we do. And that's to address degenerative disc disease problems of the neck. And we can either replace busted up discs with something called cervical disc arthroplasty. It's a newer surgery that I brought to UPMC Hammett. And with disc replacement, we are able to preserve the motion of the spine and then address, you know, issues where discs are pushing on nerves and pushing on the spinal cord, but still preserve motion. And then the more common and traditional way of treating that problem is with fusion surgery. And that just involves removing the disc entirely and replacing it with basically a spacer that allows bone to grow through it. So your own bone will end up fusing across the two levels where we've removed the disc and placed a spacer. And course, we can operate from the back of the spine to the posterior cervical decompression and fusion, where we can decompress the spinal cord if there's pressure on it, and then also fuse by placing screws and rods from the back, another very common surgery that we do. And then down at the bottom of the spine, very similarly, we can approach from the front, from the side, actually, which is different than the cervical spine, or from the back. So we have 360 degrees of access getting to the spine and the low back, which often becomes necessary and or just improved using a combination of those approaches when we treat major spinal deformity problems like scoliosis, which affects a large number of adults to a certain extent, with the degenerative disease affecting a long segment of the spine. So I'm very pleased to be able to work together in teams with some of my colleagues to do some of these more complex approaches when it comes to operating from the front of the spine in the low back. Obviously, you have the big stomach in front that you have to get around to get to that part of the spine. And so using collaborations with some of my general surgery colleagues who have extensive experience operating in the abdomen and doing it in a minimally invasive way, I get to work in teams. For instance, Dr. Greg Beard is my teammate, my access surgeon, when I have to approach the low back from the front. And he is one of our most experienced general surgeons, director of the trauma team and the residency program, and our medical director as well, chief medical officer. So neurosurgery, since it's such a diverse specialty operating on a lot of different areas, it allows for some really rewarding and fun collaborations with other specialties. So that's for the spine. I kind of elaborated a lot on the spine there, but of course, brain surgery makes up a large part of neurosurgery as well. Anything from brain tumors to disorders that affect the blood vessels of the brain, which is, you know, one of my subspecialty areas of focus and training when it comes to neurosurgery, called cerebrovascular neurosurgery and endovascular neurosurgery. And those could be things like aneurysms, brain aneurysms, arteriovenous malformations, and other disorders of abnormal connection between an artery and a vein that lead to an increased risk of having brain bleeding and other types of strokes. And when it comes to strokes, of course, ischemic strokes, which is an area of medicine that a lot of different specialties collaborate and take care, like neurologists, like my exceptional partner, Charlie Romero, and interventional radiologists, and then also neurosurgeons all can team up and train to treat ischemic stroke, which is when there's a blockage of blood flow in an artery. And because of that blockage of blood flow, the brain that it serves can be starved of oxygen and die. So we can go in from inside the blood vessel and remove that blockage so that we can restore blood flow immediately. And that is something that wasn't exactly on my radar as I came into neurosurgery residency, but is one of the most rewarding things that I have the honor of doing now. As patients can come into our angiography suite, where I do all my endovascular work, and be completely paralyzed on one side of their body, be completely unable to speak because they have a blockage. And within 10 minutes, we can do a procedure where we remove that blockage from inside the blood vessel through a small puncture of a needle into their artery in their wrist or the artery in the top of the leg. And from that access point, can get up to the blood vessels in the brain and quickly restore blood flow and literally watch the patient improve back to normal in front of our eyes as that happens. So stroke care is such a huge problem in our population as well, and such a rewarding thing to be a part of, the team that takes care of these folks.
Are there any differential advantages that are available with your team that is exclusive to UPMC Hammett?
Yeah, I can definitely speak on a few things that we offer at UPMC Hammett and that I had the fortunate honor of training with. I did my training all within UPMC down in Pittsburgh, the neurosurgery and neuroendovascular teams in Pittsburgh. As residents, we served essentially all of the Pittsburgh-based UPMC hospitals. It was Presbyterian, Mercy, Children's Hospital, Shadyside Hospital. So we got a very, very broad training in all the various subspecialties of neurosurgery, and then the busiest neuroendovascular program in the country as well. So really fortunate of having a lot of repetitions with cases and a lot of practice and training with a lot of different neurosurgeons from different backgrounds that just provided such a wonderful place and opportunity to have a broad and well-balanced training. So when it comes to neuroendovascular care, we are the only place in the Erie area that provides neuroendovascular services at all. So that's stroke care. Any patients that have acute strokes that are candidates for an endovascular intervention that are in our region get transferred to us. And any patients that have cerebral aneurysms, brain aneurysms, across the country now, about 80% of brain aneurysms are great candidates for treatment from inside the blood vessels, endovascular treatment. And that's our minimally invasive technique, where we can just do a puncture into the artery in the wrist or the artery in the top of the leg and treat the aneurysm from inside by placing small coils on the inside of the aneurysm or stents. Or there are even new and promising devices that are coming out on every couple month basis in this extremely exciting field that just continues to get better with technology. We are the only place in the region that offers that service. So other places may offer open surgery for brain aneurysms, also bringing new techniques when it comes to open cerebrovascular surgery. And when I use the word open, I mean, this is surgery where I have to make an incision and make a small window through the skull to go down and treat an aneurysm from the outside by placing a clip across the aneurysm. And that is a traditional operation that has been done for about 100 years at this point. And what we've done to refine it and make it, you know, improved and better for the patient outcomes and the patient experience is make it more minimally invasive. So while incisions used to be about 6 or 7 inches long, now they're 2 inches long. And the window that's through the skull used to be the size of a sand dollar. Now it's the size of a quarter. So these things that we've refined over time to make the cosmetic result for patients much better, these small incisions are hid behind the hairline. And because they're so small, then they heal up so well, you can't tell that the patient had surgery after they've recovered 3 months down the line. And they come back into clinic and I have my staff try and guess which side of the head the operation was on before they look at the charts. So it's rewarding to bring both completely new techniques that are not available elsewhere and also refinements of some of our traditional techniques that are not available elsewhere. So that's for the cerebrovascular side. And then when it comes to spine care, some of these minimally invasive and 360 degree access to the spine techniques are not available elsewhere when it comes to treating regular adult degenerative disease and also more major scoliosis correction surgeries, where we're correcting big curves in the spine that are causing just a tremendously terrible quality of life for patients that are afflicted by that problem. And so by doing minimally invasive techniques where I can approach from the side or the front, like I mentioned with Dr. Beard, we're able to give patients a much easier recovery time, much lower amount of blood loss, and just a much improved quality of life when it comes to the way that we assess quality of life on various surveys. Just a tremendous benefit using these newer techniques with a lower side effect or risk profile. It's incredibly rewarding to be a part of, you know, a team that serves patients with such a broad range of conditions and bringing new and improved care to the region, really that's cutting edge and only available at most of the top academic institutions in the country. Now it's here in Erie.
Dr. Stone, it seems like you deal with a lot of patients suffering from chronic pain. I've got to believe that the relief you can potentially bring a patient suffering from something like scoliosis is so rewarding as you're walking through that journey with that patient.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. So when it comes to the condition of adult degenerative scoliosis, that's a problem that doesn't happen overnight. It's not, you know, I got in a car accident and I broke my spine and it's clear the problem that needs to be fixed and adjusted and everything's fine and back to normal after that. This is a problem that takes many years, an entire adult living to develop. And these are folks that have some susceptibility to spine degeneration, probably from genes that were passed on from their parents. And we're doing a lot of research into figuring out how we can try and prevent it from happening at all. But for the folks that unfortunately have had it happen, where there's advanced degeneration of their discs, of their joints of the spine, and that results in a curvature that is causing just tremendous chronic pain over the course of, you know, many, many years, it's great to be able to offer a solution that is going to work. And it's quite an undertaking, some of the surgeries that we do to correct this, but incredibly rewarding after the end result. And these surgeries, you know, where I have to correct a long segment of the spine, we're talking like a curvature correction that extends from T10 to the pelvis or from T4 to the pelvis. That's really, the thoracic spine has 12 levels. And so we're talking about almost to the point where you're at the bottom of your neck, all the way down to your pelvis. That is a massive surgery to undertake. And I tell patients that these surgeries have a 100% complication rate. And when I say that, I mean something is going to happen in the post-op period, whether that be developing a urinary tract infection because you're not quite as mobile as you usually are in the first couple days and you have a Foley catheter in place, or a pneumonia as you're recovering because you're not taking as deep breaths as you usually do because it's painful to recover from the operation, or something like an infection, which is possible for any surgery. But I tell patients this because it is a surgery that should be only undertaken when all other conservative things have just not worked, or maybe worked for a time. Things like physical therapy and pain management with injections in different places and acupuncture and chiropractic work. Those are always the first steps. And when those no longer work and life is intolerable to live, that's when the risk-benefit profile will favor correcting these problems. A patient that I just recently operated on about a month ago at this point, she required fusion from T10 all the way down to the pelvis, and immediately after surgery was up and walking the halls that night. And she required a complex two-stage surgery. I did them both in the same day, where I did part of her fusion from the side through a 1-inch incision, and then part of her fusion from the back with screws and rods. And she literally said she was crying with tears of joy with how much relief of pain that she had for over 10 years that was so prohibitive to her life. That those are the kinds of things that really warm my heart and that I couldn't imagine being without in my life. So chronic pain is definitely something that can improve with surgery if you're doing surgery for the right indication. And, you know, in this community, there's an exceptional team of physical therapists, occupational therapists, chiropractors, pain specialists who do great work. And, you know, oftentimes surgery can be avoided by the work that they do. But when you have just anatomic problems that are not going to be relieved by those conservative measures, then they send the patients to me where there is still hope and there is still a solution.
The next topic I want to roll into is traumatic injuries. Dr. Stone, can you review some of the traumatic injuries that you see and treat at UPMC Hammett?
Yeah, absolutely. Trauma is one of those problems that happens in a great preponderance in the youth and then a great preponderance in the elderly. it's called a bimodal distribution of etiology when that happens, where there's a lot of trauma from motor vehicle crashes and accidents with ATVs and other recreational type vehicles in the area that happen in younger folks. And then a lot of falls, especially in the winter on icy conditions in the elderly, that result in trauma to the brain and spine. And Hammett provides a level 2 trauma center, which the difference between a level 1 and a level 2 trauma center is not very much. It has more to do with the presence of residency programs and research that's done, rather than the actual services that are provided. The services and the in-house trauma surgeon and the rapid availability of all specialists that operate on trauma, like neurosurgeons, is available to the same degree as a level 1 trauma center. So Hammett really is the region's main trauma center, where we take care of problems like traumatic brain injury, where there are bleeding on the inside of the brain with bruises, like a intracerebral hemorrhage, or bleeding on the outside of the brain, but on the inside of the skull, which could be a subdural hematoma or epidural hematoma related to skull fractures or just related to the trauma. And those are problems that are truly emergently life-threatening that need care as quickly as humanly possible. And we have a great network of EMS providers that can get patients to us quickly via helicopter or via ambulance, so that we can take care of these problems in rapid fashion. Shortly after I started, I had a 17-year-old who unfortunately had a traumatic brain injury, where they had fallen off of a porch and hit the back of their head and had one of those critically life-threatening emergent problems called an epidural hematoma, where there was a tremendous amount of pressure on her brain, you know, shifting her brain from one side to the other and compromising her brain stem. And our phenomenal team up at UPMC Chautauqua got her stabilized and got her flown via helicopter to Hammett. And she was, she had to have a breathing tube placed during the transport on the helicopter because her exam was declining so fast. It just kind of gives you an idea of how quickly things can change when these patients have these problems. But I was notified when she was at Chautauqua, so I was ready and waiting with my whole OR team for her arrival. And our exceptional general surgery team basically met her on the helipad, did a very rapid assessment to make sure the breathing tube was in okay position, and then got her to the operating room, where we took care of her epidural hematoma, took the pressure off of the brain within 9 minutes of her actually landing on the roof. So it's an incredible team where we provide the highest level of trauma care. And it's one of those services that I'm grateful to be able to provide that public service to this region, as the problems are acutely life-threatening. And while the recovery from these problems can take a long time and a lot of effort and a lot of support from families, the recoveries can be actually quite well with our comprehensive and advanced level of care when it's able to be received in quick, rapid fashion. That particular patient was able to go home 2 days after she arrived and was able to go to college that year, that she did not miss any time in college, going straight from high school to college. It's great to think about that case.
In closing, thank you, Dr. Stone. I believe we've learned today that world-class and market-leading care in neurosurgery is found at UPMC Hammett. Before we depart, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
Since starting at UPMC Hammett just 8 months ago at this point, it's been an extreme honor and privilege to take care of the community here and be a part of this team.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.